Good morning, Pine Grove. So it's a day of celebration. Every Sunday should be a day of celebration, but this one more than most. We're starting a brand new series, and we're asking you to fasten your seatbelts because we're going to take a look at the keys to the kingdom. So what are the keys to the kingdom? Well, the keys to the kingdom are really a shorthand for why this is a great club, okay? Why being a Christian, why giving your life to Christ has its benefits. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at 8 keys to the kingdom. When I was about 11, one morning at the breakfast table, my dad told me that I could drive the tractor for the very first time. You know, I had always known that I was part of the family. There were some fairly clear indications. They hadn't thrown me out. They fed me. They drove me to school. But I'd never got to drive the tractor. And so when I was able to take the keys in the tractor, I knew, despite the fact that I couldn't see over the top, that I was part of the family. And that's what this series is going to encourage you to think about, being part of the family. When you look at the keys that we're going to serve up to you, you know, you will know, that each one of those keys tells you that you're part of the family. Now, maybe you're not yet part of the family. Do you want to join the family? We're going to help you with that too. But it's an interesting pursuit that we're going to look at, unless it's sort of put this together and the elders have thought that this would be an idea that we could look at, to tell you that it's kind of a God thing. It's the Father telling you that you are the chosen daughter. You are the chosen son in His family. That is pretty cool. So what are those keys over the next 8 weeks or so? We're going to take a look at baptism today, communion next week, the Word week after that, worship after that, service, fellowship, Sabbaths, and prayer and fasting. So these are all keys on our keychain, and you may be very familiar with some of those keys, but have you ever had a key rack, and you get a bunch of keys, and you kind of forget what they're for? Well, we have a whole rack full of those, and you're kind of afraid to throw them out because they might be for something important, and then you throw them out, and you say, I'm sure I threw out that key. Well, we're going to have a chance to go through your entire key rack over the next 10 weeks and take a look at how God has provided a God thing for you to know that you're part of His family. So the first one is baptism. No particular order here, but there may be some logic to why baptism is first. It's kind of the beginning, because baptism is an event, it's a symbol, that is kind of like getting to drive the tractor for the very first time. And so Marcella is going to do it, and her family is going to see it, and we're going to be witnesses to it this morning. So it is going to be a bit of a multimedia morning. We've got some water, we've got some video, we've got some audio, and you've got me. Take it or leave it. All right, so we're going to start with a bit of a YouTube video. I spent quite a bit of wonderful time taking a look at the different videos, everything from country music, Carrie Underwood, all the way to the Gators. You've got everything for baptism songs. This is the one I chose. But before we let it run, Julian, I just want to open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a gift, a joy, a pleasure to be part of your family. And to get the keys to your kingdom is such a privilege. May my words touch just one person today where they feel that nudge, that sense that they now are part of the family, that they have the keys. I ask this through your son's precious name. Amen. All right,
Preacher pulled the boy up from the water. Hallelujahs arose from the bank. There was a new suit of clothes from his father and a prayer of thanks. The boy walked barefooted all the way home for dinner, and when they laughed at his muddy feet, he said, "I've been through the water and I come out clean, and I got new clothes to cover me, and you don't wear your brand new feet, and you've been through the water, been through the water." Preacher turned them around at the altar, pronounced the boy and his girl. Mother and father, and they built their life. His old girlfriend saw a moment of weakness. She said, "If you're lonely, come see me sometime." He said, "I've been you don't wear your old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. I've been through the water. He baits a hook with his grandson, seven. Says soon I'll be free from these pains. The boy asks if he's ever been to heaven. He says, "No, I think I know the way, 'cause I've been through the water."
Now that's family. So I've been through the water. Have you been through the water? I've been through the water. And, you know, in many ways, if you take a look at that video, there's something hugely uplifting about it. There's three parts, if you take a look. There's the believing part, the believing in Jesus part. Then there's the taking the plunge part. And what's often forgotten, but this song does very well, is that there's an enjoying of the kingdom. And there's also the anticipation of the fullness of the kingdom of God. I haven't been to heaven, but I think I know the way because I've been through the waters. So it's really a celebration. It's a time when we have a recognition of an event that is so important that you know you are part of the family. It's a key to the kingdom. So why do you think baptism is a key? Well, I think probably we're going to get some pretty good evidence from this book. Baptism is the key because it's a Jesus thing. Jesus did it. He actually did baptism. Did he actually need to be baptized? Well, I don't think he needed to be baptized. He had no sin. He was God, is God, will be God. But let's see what happened in Matthew 3, 13 to 16. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. So there's some deep theology there. I'm not going to do that today. I'm probably not capable of doing that. There have been thousands of volumes written about baptism and about the whole notion of being submersed in water and dying to sin and rising up clean. But baptism doesn't need to be complicated. And any guesses on who did this painting? Janet's being very quiet because she knows the answer. Has anybody, this was a work before the Mona Lisa. Leonardo da Vinci in 1400s. Again, why is baptism a key? Because it is a Jesus thing. He did it. But he also talked about it as important for us to do. He had a couple of events that he said, these are really important. We did one this morning, communion. The other one is baptism. If we take a look at Matthew 28, 18 to 20, this is the very, very, very last thing Jesus said on earth. And he said this to his disciples. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You might remember that from a couple of messages ago, just between Christmas and New Year's. We call it the Great Commission. So Jesus did it, and Jesus told us to do it. What's not to understand? Well, maybe it is complicated. Maybe baptism is complicated, and you have a bunch of questions about baptism. Let's take a look at Acts 36 to 41, but the real nut of the matter is in 38. So here we are, we're the day of the Pentecost. Jesus has left, the apostles are by themselves, they're holed up in a room, and suddenly they get all of this amazing power, and they start going out and sharing the gospel. And here is Peter saying, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off," that would be us, "for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. So, is baptism complicated? If we go to Acts 2:38, it says, "Repent, be baptized, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit." Again, I challenge you, what's complicated about that? But if you don't believe me, there's an excellent video, 6 minutes, by Francis Chan about baptism. And if you take a look, he has a great line. He says, "If you find that complicated, why do you ask?" Because it seems that 3,000 that day didn't. They, before Nike was born, just did it. So Marcella's here today, and she's just going to do it. She's going to be there. She's going to take that step, and she is going to be baptized. Okay, I know there's some doubters out there that need a bit more Greek and Latin and Hebrew before they've got the full picture. I got something for you too. Comes from the word baptizo, bapto, giving us nouns baptisma and baptismos, which mean roughly to wash, to ceremonial wash, to clean, to dip, to immerse. And so we find it in the Bible 73 times. And 73 times, but only in the New Testament. Now, you'll say, well, didn't the John before Jesus come along, wasn't he baptizing? And yes, there was some ritual baptizing that was done by the Jews, still done by the Jews, but now the New Testament uses this Greek word, baptismo, for baptism. And it sort of lends itself to a number of interpretations, which washing, dipping, immersing has led to several practices around what baptism actually is. And this debate has been something more than just academic. People have died over what baptism should be among the Christian denominations. And just to give you a hint, but not to distract you, there are at least 5 different ways to baptize. There are baptizing by sprinkling, by pouring, by immersion, by submersion, by aspersion, and by effusion. So I just think that that's baptism by confusion. So we don't need to make this complicated. Now, people have also died about where to be baptized. Baptized in a church, out of a church, in a river, out of a river, in a tank, out of a tank, in a font, beside a font. And I don't want you to get confused by that, because really, it's not that confusing. So maybe people have also died about when you can be baptized. Should you be baptized as an infant, as a young person, as an old person, as a person who's about to die? And there have been several traditions. But the one important thing is that we all agree on the necessity for water. There's something about baptism that requires water. And for us, what's really important is that it's an outward sign of an inward reality of a person's experience in the living God. There's grace. There's belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so I want to challenge you to go home and remember only five things from today. That's quite a few. But anyway, it's Sandwich Sunday, so you'll have extra power. So it's a private declaration. I want you to remember that. A 180-degree turn. I want you to remember that. A clean start. A new helper. And a public declaration. Whew. Well, think of it as a sandwich. There's a declaration on both ends. One's private, one's public. And then there are three different slices, cheese, tomato, and lettuce. And the private, 180 turn, cheese, the clean start, lettuce, and the new helper is the tomato. Yeah, it was a great sermon this morning. It was about a sandwich. I have no idea except there was cheese, tomato, and lettuce on it. Anyway, so these are, and I'm going to go quite quickly now because you've got the main bits here. The private declaration is something that happens in the heart of the person who gets the keys to the kingdom, who says, I'm ready to take the keys of the kingdom. They're right there. They're dangling in front of me. I am going to commit. Do I believe that Jesus is Lord? Do I believe that Jesus is Lord of my life? Do I believe that God's way of living is the best for me? Or would I rather be addicted? Or would I rather have all of these things that cause me harm? Or do I believe that God's way is best? Do in my heart I want to be in love with the creator of the universe, the savior of the universe? And do I want to have the Holy Spirit's power to help me live out my life? These are all very private questions. And unless you can answer them, and you can answer them yes, maybe you're not ready to drive. Maybe you're not ready to take those keys, but they're there. They're there, and it's a private declaration. And once you've done that, it's happened. Boom, a private declaration. And what do you get? What do you get with that private declaration? Things start happening. And the second thing that happens is a 180-degree turn. And suddenly you say, I don't want to have the steering wheel anymore all by myself. I want, as Carrie Underwood said, Jesus to take the wheel. And I'm going to take a 180 turn, and I'm going to start running to something as opposed to running away from something. And that 180-degree turn means that you're ready. And the other thing is you're going to get a brand new clean start. I've been waiting for about 5 years to put this in one of my messages to Pine Grove. Do you ever wonder when you put out your garbage in the morning and you go off to work and you come home that your garbage is not going to be picked up? Well, unless you put it out on the wrong day. But that's another story. But it's always picked up. And so what happens is you go to work like this and you come home like that. You are not in Christ and you have all this garbage and this baggage and you commit your life to Christ and you come home and your whole property is sparkling. It's like you're completely transformed. Isn't that amazing? So who takes out your garbage? And, you know, when do you get your pickup? With baptism, with believing in Christ, you get a clean start. And you keep getting a clean start. Even though you might still mess up, there's a before and there's an after. And finally, you get a new helper. And that new helper is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is one powerful entity. It's too much to read all of that, but the Holy Spirit can help you. It can convict you. It can influence you. It can help you in your prayers. It helps the community. It helps us as Pine Grove to be a healthy community. It helps us overcome sin, helps us understand Scripture. It helps us in knowing that we have the guarantee. We have the keys and we can keep the keys. It's not a one-year lease. You have the keys, you keep the keys. And finally, we come to the part of baptism that we're going to see right now is the public declaration. And the public declaration is important because it is literally the first day of the rest of your life. And when you take a look at that video that we saw of Been Through the Waters, or you take a look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it's a pretty amazing community. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. So you're probably wondering, this sounds too good to be true. Will all my problems be gone as soon as I become a Christian and become baptized and all that kind of thing? No, they won't. But you will have the joy and the anticipation of eternal life with this community, with Jesus Christ, with the Creator, and your problems will be in the context of a supportive community that you can come to. You know, we had a very interesting conversation with some friends of ours who are pre-Christians, and they said, you know, like, I just don't know who I'd call in the middle of the night. And Janet and I look around and we think, just get out of the church directory. You could probably call half those people in the middle of the night. They might not be terribly happy, but they would come. They would come to our house, and they would fix, and they would help us, and that's the kind of supportive community. So when you're making this public declaration of baptism, you are saying, I'm ready to be part of this family, and we're saying, bring it on, because you are part of this community. So these are some ideas that might be floating around in your head, and if you're a Christian and you've been baptized, welcome, and we're happy to have you worshiping with us in this church family. Some of you have been here for 2 weeks, and some of you have been here for 30 years. So welcome. And if you're not baptized and you're really thinking about it and you'd like to be driving the tractor, then what's stopping you from taking the plunge? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this series that you've opened up on our hearts to take a look at the keys of the kingdom, baptism is one that seems to be at the beginning. It's one where we've asked those questions and we're ready to commit and we're ready to answer those questions. Yes, 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 yes. And so this morning when we see Marcella go and be baptized, we welcome her into this community. We welcome that public declaration, and we're here to celebrate with you and with her this monumentous event of her giving her life to Christ. We ask this blessing on us and anyone else who has sort of always had those questions, that they might really be ready to commit to you, to live in harmony with your ways. And we ask this all through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Please stand. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the Word. Sweet the rains new sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, Praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the Word. Please be seated.
Children, you're welcome to come up to the front to get a better view. So what a privilege we have this morning to celebrate with Marcella as she follows in obedience to be baptized and publicly declare her faith in Christ. Just on a personal note, Clayton and my paths crossed with Marcella's on the very first day she arrived at Pine Grove about a year and a half ago. And since that time, we've seen Marcella's faith continue to grow and her depend on God as she faces challenges in her life, to give glory to God as she's had victories in her life. And it's been a real blessing to Clett and I. And we've seen Marcella get involved in the community here at Pine Grove. She's made friends at the round table at the front. She's joined a food team. Help serve tea and coffee. She's part of the Empty Nesters and has participated in the Alpha Club. And so I know she's been a blessing to us and to many people here, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to be part of this celebration. And Marcella's asked if she could just give a short testimony as to why she's... Marcella, go ahead.
Dan made reference to August 2014. I came to this church one Sunday, hurting badly, scared, and feeling very much alone. And I found God in this building, in the people in the building, in all the blessings that I've enjoyed since that Sunday when I found this building and these people. So I've considered this church my home and the people who attend this church my church family. And there's always been one part of the Bible that I have loved, and I used to share it with my dad when I was a little girl, and I want to read it for you today. Word has always been and always will be close to my heart, and I hope close to yours. Ooh, nice and warm. I know.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
for being here.